Simon Tzadi Zayin has the Gzeira Durabanan of milchik bread, actually, or fleshik bread. Same exact Gzeira applies to milchik bread and fleshik bread. It's just that, Bezman Azeh, fleshik bread is not so shchiach anyway, because it's not in our sort of dietary, whatever's in fashion, in terms of our ingredients nowadays. Ein lashin isa bechalav. Right, you can't put milk into your dough because you might come to eat it with meat. And the chiddush is not only can't you do it lechachil, it's even aser b'di'eved afilo achlo vader. You're not even allowed to eat it plain. That's the main meaning. The first gzeira is just don't make milk with bread. The main thing which we're going to have to be trying to understand properly. If you learn this, then if you do make milk with bread, it's treif. You can't even eat it bechlal. But there's an exception. What is the Gemara's exception? Gemara's exception is ke'in Torah. Something about some part of a cow, maybe a cow's eye or a cow. If you make this cow bread, what does cow bread mean? So it's machlokas between Rashi and the Rama Riff. Okay, what does Rashi say that the heter is? A little. What? Vim. Rashi says, if it was small, why is it mutter if it's small? Because how can you forget if it's small? If you make a lot of bread and you eat it for days and days, you'll forget. But if you make the bread and eat it right away, then you're not going to forget. And the Rambam says, no, it means a special shape. It was a cow shape to recognize the milk. Osheshina tzursabashti in Keresh, you made a special shape so that it would be nicker. Shalo yochalabas, so that you won't eat it with meat. It is mutter. Okay, do we pass them like Rashi or the Rambam? So the Gemara could only have meant one of them. The Gemara could only have meant either it's mutter a small amount, or it's mutter with a shinoi. However, we saw this machlokas Rishonim, we said, but they're both logical. They both make sense. And therefore, we pass them like both of them. Even though the Gemara only meant one, we pass them like both of them. Obviously, it helps that we're only dealing with the Gzeira D'Rabbanan in the first place. If it was an Issa D'Oraisa, it would be harder to be make it like both. Since it's only Gzeira D'Rabbanan, and they're both logical, we paskin like both kulas. So what are the two heterim and milky bread? One is Dover Muat, that is Rashi's Pirish. Now, let's finish the Mechaber. Likewise, you can't cook bread in an oven that you smeared. You know how nowadays, like, I don't know if you spray pan when you bake a cake, right? You often have a little oil so that it doesn't stick. So in the old days, they would also, how would they bake their bread? They would stick it on the oven walls. But they would put some sort of oil so it wouldn't stick. So what would they often smear it with? With schmaltz, with animal fat. So in oven pas b'tana shoch ba'alya, you can't cook bread in an oven which you smeared instead of using, pan or vegetable-based grease. You used animal fat, because then the animal fat goes into the bread, and it's as if you made the dough with animal fat. And if you did it, meaning it's all the same whether you kneaded the milk in the first place, or you just baked it, the tom of it, in afterwards, and it's all the same whether it's milk or meat, either way the same zero applies. V'lachein nogin lolosh pas. And therefore, our minhag is that we make milchik bread for Shavuos. I haven't seen this done so much anymore. Nowadays, people just make cheesecake. But in the old days, they made mamish milchik bread for Shavuos. Gam b'shumun l'chol Shabbos, and they made fleshik bread with animal fat for Shabbos. Back in the good old days. He calls that before he decided it wasn't healthy. He calls them mechshav yidar remuot, because that's all only a little. Gam ki tzeres v'shumun shar pas, and also it's a special shape. So that's two at eight, meaning he doesn't need both. Either at or alone would be enough. A, it's a little. And B, it's a special shape. Kol shekein pladin v'pashtidin mutarim, for sure, a meat pie or cheese pie is mutter. Why is it kol shekein? Because you can actually see what it is. Like, you don't have to guess from the shape. You can actually see. So, let's just go through some details of these two kulas. First is davar muat. Now, the question is, what counts as davar muat? How muat is davar muat? So, what does the Mechaber say?
Like one meal.
Exactly. He says one meal. Right, k'dei achilu v'as achas. Does the Rama agree with the Mechaber? Right. Now, Shavuos doesn't prove anything, because maybe you're baking one's meal's worth on Shavuos. You're allowed to bake on Shavuos, right? So if it was just Shavuos, it wouldn't prove anything. But we all know you can't bake on Shabbos. So he says you bake fleishik challah for Shabbos. Obviously, you bake it Friday. And He didn't say only Friday night, right? He said Shabbos. So it sounds from the Ramah like you don't just get one meal. A whole day is a davar mu'at because you bake on Friday and eat it on Shabbos. And that's what the Achronim understand. That the Ramah says one day, and at least we, at least Ashkenazim, Paskin like the Ramah, that one day is considered davar mu'at, and therefore you are actually allowed to bake milk or fleishig bread, as long as it's a day's worth. A day's worth for who? A day's worth for whoever you're baking. How many people are in your house? For how many people you're having over. Okay, we'll get to another point soon.
Why is one day not three meals?
What?
Is it just the same thing?
No, because I don't want you to, sometimes you have three meals in more than one day, so I wouldn't want to extend it that
time
far.
Time bound.
Yeah. Lechor, it's time bound one day.
I thought the trap was that you know, on Shabbos, you know you're not going to eat milk this. So you're for sure going to eat this up before your next time.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I saw some of the Achronim want to point that out, but that's not what the Ramah says. Meaning, it's very nice that you say that you don't eat milchiks on Shabbos. But that's not what the Ramah says. He says, because it's davar mu'at, and it has a different surah. He didn't say what you said. He said it's davar mu'at. So therefore, the Achronim conclude that one day is davar mu'at. And he could have said what you said, but that's not what he said.
Then why did he mention Shabbos b'chol?
Because that was the minhag of what they did. They didn't eat bread with shuman during the week. I mean, I don't know, for whatever reason.
But
he was talking about their minhag.
So would the Ramah say,
it would have been the same man on Shabbos, but he was just discussing the minhag.
Okay.
Kach nirali. Okay. Now, how about a shinoi? Right? Shinoi tsura. So, I mean, we're going to add some more detail soon. But how about the idea of a shinoi tsura? So, there are some machlokos about what a shinoi tsura is. First of all, very importantly, the Pesach Tshuva Gimel says a shinoi tsura only works if you're going to eat in your house. But if you're selling in the shuk, that doesn't work because not everyone understands the shinoi tsura. Right? That is the... that is the Maharit quoting the Pesach Tshuva Gimel, and that makes a lot of sense. I mean, a shinoi tsura has to be a recognizable shinoi tsura. It has to be an understood shinoi tsura. If I just say, "Oh, I'm going to make this shinoi tsura," but no one understands, and I sell in the bakery, that doesn't help because people don't know the shinoi tsura. It has to be a shinoi tsura recognized by people. Must be understood by anyone who might acquire it. Right? So, if we're talking about selling things, then a shinoi tsura only works if people understand the shinoi tsura. Here, this gets very subtle. This is the famous English muffin controversy in the old days in the OU. The OU has OUD Thomas's English muffins. You know what an English muffin is?
Can we just call it a muffin?
It could be. I remember Lichtenstein likes to point out that there's a big difference in the use of the word English when you say English muffin or English poet. And that an English poet is a poet who happens to be from England. An English muffin is not a muffin that happens to be from England. It's a different kind of muffin. He used that as an example all the time. But it's, okay, it's a kind of bread product. Anyway, there's OUD English muffins, and the svara of the OU is that muffins is a shinoi tsura from bread, and everyone knows that muffins are often milchik. It's a shinoi tsura from bread, and everyone knows that the shinoi tsura of muffins is milchik. Now here it's tricky. It's not like someone purposely made a shinoi tsura to show it's milchik. It's that everyone knows that English muffins might be milchik. This was very controversial.
Are they more similar to bread than regular muffins?
Yes, they are just a different shape of bread.
There's a British word for this, but I don't remember. I found out what it was
a
few years ago. I don't remember.
So English muffins were very controversial. The OU gave a heter to English muffins. The OU gave an OUD to English muffins. And a lot of people complained that that's not a shinoi tsura. Like, how are people supposed to know that English muffins are milchik? Like, I know it looks different than bread. But it has to look different from bread in a way that people say, like people think it looks different from bread because it's just a different style and a different taste. Like they have different kinds of, all different kinds of breads. And it's just, for variety. How are they supposed to know that it's milchik? And it gets very tricky. Like, does the regular person know that an English muffin is milchik or not? After all, not all English muffins are milchik. So the OU used to get into this big controversy, and the OU got a lot of flack for it in the old days. Lemaisa, nowadays, the OU does not rely on that, anymore. Nowadays, the OU does not rely on that kula. Nowadays, the OU will not give a hechsher to milchik English muffins because someone could easily make a mistake. I mean, I know people have made the mistake and taken English muffins that are milchik and like made like sandwiches with deli and with meat on them and eaten them. So it seems to be a very weak svara that maybe in the when they first came out, it was different. Everyone thought of them as some sort of milchik snack. But it seems a very weak svara. Nowadays, the OU does not rely on that svara anymore. And they do not give a hechsher to milchik English muffins because people don't know that English muffins are milchik. People think they're parif. If you do see an English muffin with an OUD, that doesn't mean that the OU is relying on this kula. That means that they're not really milchik. That they're only they have like less than a 60th milk, or they're made on milking equipment or something, which we'll discuss. But if you see an OUD on English muffins, that just means that it's bechezkat chalavi, as we say, right? It's made in a place where there might be a small amount of milk that's less than shishim, or might be milk equipment, or might be contaminated with milk, but it's not actually milchik, it's actually pariv, and that's why they give an OUD, but they would not give an OUD to actually milking English muffin. Their instructions for their mashkicham are, if you're in an English muffin factory, it's allowed to be bechezkat chalavi, it's allowed to have traces of chalav, but it's not allowed to be milchik. If it's milchik, then it's treif. So they no longer rely on that questionable kula.
Right. And obviously, when we talk about shinovitzur, then we mean on the item itself, as opposed to the fact that it's in a package.
Hold that thought for a second. So when it comes to the shinovitzur, secondly, is the discussion of, give me a second, sorry, of, the Gilyan Marsha. The second Gilyan Marasha says, "Mash medavka shakol tsuras and mashuna." Avol ein takana lasos ba'achar if yasimin kugon la etc. Only if the whole tsur is mashuna, but not just to like write milchik or fleishik in one part of it, because you might not notice it. Delo kenira mitshuvas etc. etc. Says, how about shinoi tsura on part of the loaf? Right, so what if they actually, like, in the factory, they stamp on dairy on part of the loaf, or they have, like, a picture of, I don't know, a milk carton or something, or if it's a fleishik loaf, which not common nowadays, but should be, they have a picture of a steak or something. So what if, like, one half of the loaf has the shinoi, but the other half of the loaf looks normal? Are we afraid someone will not pay attention to that half of the loaf? So that's a big machlokas. The Gilyon Maharsha says, Usser. But, nonetheless, the Chachmas Adam says Mutter, and the Badei HaSholchan agrees with the Chachmas Adam. L'maisa, we assume, as long as on the loaf there's a simen, even if not every square inch is covered, if on the loaf there's a simen, that's good enough. We trust people that will remind them. However, Chesky says, there's something even less than part of the loaf. What if the simen is only on the package, right? Meaning, nowadays, bread comes in packages. So maybe just write dairy on the package and shalom al Yisrael. So the chafkei, at least when I, do they still do it? Rely on this? At least when I used to live in America, they, chafkei, gave a hechsher to dairy bread relying on the D on the package as a simon. Once upon a time, I don't know if they still do, they had a mesorah from the Rav that he permitted that.
Maybe Rufeller changed that. I remember him talking about this. Okay. He didn't like it.
So how about shinoi sura on the package? So at least at one point in time, the chafkei allowed dairy bread because there was a D on the package, so no one will make a mistake. That is a very, very weak svara because you take bread out of the package sometimes. So not to mention the fact that, you know, there's other questions, but I mean, even according to the Chachmas Adam, who says that it's okay to have shinoi sura on part of the loaf, that's on the loaf. But sometimes you take bread out of the package then. How's anyone supposed to know b'chlal?
Well, it's, it's also only a small in the package.
I don't know. People buy a loaf of bread and it's meant to last many meals. Now, mention the fact that when they manufacture the bread, they sell it in large quantities. So, l'maisa, yesh, mekilin, but we should not rely on that. No one likes that kula. I don't know. I should have really called them to be fair and ask if they still rely on that kula. Or if they ever relied on that kula, maybe I just heard evil rumors. L'maisa, there are those who, it was alleged to me by trustworthy people, relied on the kula with D on the package. That should really not be relied on b'chlal. If you do find Arnold's rye bread, and it does have a hefty with a D, and it says milk in the ingredients, then you should not eat it and not rely on that kula. You know, if it says like some weird milk derivative product that's used for processing way down on the list, that's probably less than 60th. But if it actually like has a ton of milk, then you should not rely on D in the package. You should just not buy it in the first place. And if you bought it, you should throw it in the garbage. Kach nira l'anias daiti. Now, before we get into the alumnus. Oh, sorry. Then one other thing. How about this heter of pladen or pashtida? What's the heter of pladen or pashtida? You can see if it's meat or milk very easily, like a cheese danish. Even though there's other reasons cheese danish is going to be mutter, but everyone knows no problem with cheese danish. You look at it, it's a cheese danish or deli roll. You look at it, you see that it's deli roll. No one's going to make that mistake. Like, there are some things, pizza, right? No one's going to say you can't eat, I mean, maybe someone, but no one, Main Street, is maybe there's some brisk or someplace. But no one's going to say you can't eat pizza because it's dairy bread, because what do you mean? That's a shinotzura. You see the cheese. The question is how far to take that. The big controversy is, what about things that have cheese inside, but it's covered up, like a bereka, right, or blintzes? What about berekas or blintzes or what are other things like that? Or
Danish.
What?
Danish.
Well, cheese Danish you can usually see, but let's say it's a cheese Danish that you can't see.
Cheese knish that I have.
What?
Cheese knish that would be the case. Or meat knish.
Or knishes, things like that. So what about things which, on the one hand, you could just look inside, right? It's not like bread that, how can you tell bread until you taste it, right? Like you can't look inside the bread and see what the ingredients are. On the one hand, you could just look inside. On the other hand, what if you don't look inside? Like, I have heard stories of people who, you know, serve their, you know, potato blintzes or something with a meat meal and then realize it was cheese or something like that. And then you get all the shilas as to what about the kalim, etc. Meaning these things could happen, berekas, you know, etc. So what about the, on the one hand, he's matir the pladin or the pashtida, but like maybe that was only because you could see, like, without cutting it open. Right, clearly it's cheese Danish, you could see without cutting it open, is pashut. Clearly a deli roll to me is pashut. Even if it's closed up, you could tell it's the tour of a deli roll. That doesn't bother me. Clearly to me, knishes are okay. Or at least kreplach. Kreplach don't bother me, because, without getting into whether or not they're pas, because everyone knows what's inside them. Meaning, it could be that they make other non-standard ones, but everyone knows that a deli roll is deli inside it, unless someone made something non-standard. You know, but there are some things that you mamish don't know what's inside it, berekas. It's standard to have potato, it's standard to have cheese. There are even a few other things.
You need tsura for each.
Well, hold that thought. And blintzes, it's standard to have cheese, it's standard to have potato also, I think. So, so what about things where it's standard to have paraversion and milchic version or paraversion and flacic version? So berekas, as Ben points out, that's why they have different shapes for berekas, right? The rule of berekas is that cheese is triangle shape and potato is rectangle shape, right? So, and by the way, this is not a new minhag. The chida already discusses this minhag. Says the chida right here. In the Shiurei Bracha, which is Peirush on Shulchan Aruch, Be'eretz HaTzvi, that's us, uveTurkia, nagu lasos berekas, except that they made fleishik, v'kein usher and pariv, v'aminag, they had fleishik, pariv, and milchik, apparently. V'aminag al rov lasos shel gvina v'shinoi al derech ein tori, they would make the gvina, or maybe they only make milchik and pariv. So they and they make the Dvina in a separate shape, but Sarach Lahazarel said, and you have to be makbid on this. Meaning, it's a chiyuv, it's not just a nice thing, it's a chiyuv to make a separate shape. So what about something that has a special tsura? Or that might be filled with cheese or pyre. If you know it's a special tsura, it's filled, right? It doesn't look like stam bread. If it looked like stam bread and was filled with cheese, that might be more chomer l'kuliyama. But you know it's filled with something. You just don't know what it's filled with. So on the one hand, you know it's filled with something. Like, you have a latest asafik, it's not normal bread. On the other hand, you don't know what it's filled with. Like berekas and blintzes and probably some other thing. So, here it's machlokas, says the chida, and the kaf hachayim right here agrees with him. That you have to be machmir and make it special shape, like they do in Israel with berekas. In the footnotes of the chida, he quotes the... In the footnotes here, he quotes from a Shut Teferis Adam, who says you don't have to, because someone can just look at what's inside. What's the problem? They know there's something inside. It's not a surprise there's something inside. They just know there could be potatoes or cheese. So let them look at what's inside before they eat it. Okay, do we assume people check what's inside before they eat it? Or do we assume not? So this is a big machlokes, says the Chida and the Kaf HaChayim, that it's Aser without Shinoi Tzura, and says the Shot Teferis Adam, I'm not sure who that is, that it's Mutter because you can just look. Okay, and then the Chida says, yeah, but what if someone doesn't look? So it's a question of how far to take this zero. Do you take the zero when you can just look by sticking your, you know, cutting it open with a knife? Halacha lemaisa. It seems to me that it's not clear what the minigolem is. On berekas, we're machmir, right? But on blintzes, we're mekel. The blintzes look the same, milchim and pyrev. So what's the minigolem? Why should there be minigolem to be machmir and berekas and to be mekel and blintzes? It's very funny. Like, what's the logic of that minigolem? Either we should be machmir across the board, or we should be mekel across the board.
Maybe blintzes and berekas are fundamentally different in terms of their relationship to breadness.
Ah, you mean maybe blintzes aren't bread?
Yeah, because they're
made of like crepes, etc. Ooh, maybe that's pshat. Okay, that's a good hara, like, yeah. Meaning, if you ate a full meal of blintzes, right, would you say berekas amazon?
Yeah,
if you ate a full meal of berekas, you would say berekas amazon. If you ate a full meal of blintzes, would you say berekas amazon? The regular blintzes, lachora, not. I mean, there are all kinds of in-between kinds of things. Because regular blintzes are made of just dough that's totally flat, right? What are they called, crepes or something? Yeah. What do you call them, totally flat dough? Yeah. And I think we assume that that's a tavshil, that's not pas. At least me'ikra did. I don't know if they take challah in the factories or not, but I think me'ikra did, we assume those are tavshil. Okay, that's a good ha'ara. So the ma'isa, the minhag is... Minhag is lahachmir, at least... in berekas, and what I would add is that once the minhag is lahachmir in berekas, then I think even the mekilah might admit you should be machmir in berekas. Because if you make a rectangular cheese bereka, then that's like an anti-shinoi tzura. That's not just neutral. That's like promising that it has potato inside. So I for sure would not eat unless my wife made one meal's worth. That's a different story. But I would for sure not eat. Meaning, if my wife's being at home and she doesn't know how to make triangles, she knows how to make rectangles, she makes one meal's worth, that's fine. But I would not eat a rectangular cheese bereka. And even the mekilim, I think should be machmir on this. Because that's a negative tzura.
At home, you can make whatever shino you want, though.
At home, you can make whatever shino you want if it's for one meal, or if your family and everyone in your house knows that shino well. Right, like if your family knows there's a difference, shinoi, then fine. That's what it said in the Maharid and the Pesachei Tshuva, that you can make it at home if everyone at home knows the shinoi.
If I'm not mistaken, I think they make mushroom berekas triangular.
It's a different kind of triangle. The mushroom bereka is more of an equilateral triangle, and the cheese bereka is more...
Yes, correct. Cheese bereka is even a right triangle, a right isosceles triangle.
Yeah.
Yes. Meaning the cheese bereket is half the square. The mushroom is a three equal sides, so it's a different surah. And even so, I would not necessarily be machmer on that because there's so much more cheese berekas than mushroom berekas that even if they were the same, everyone would assume the triangle is cheese. And all they would do is end up being needlessly machmer on the mushrooms. But at least now, who knows, maybe the proportion will change someday. But right now, I'm sure there's, you know, 30 cheese berekas sold for every mushroom bereka.
They have, I think we mentioned this the regular day, at least in America, they have these pizzas which are filled with like stuff, like cheese or potato. And they're, but when they're baked, like you don't see anything on the inside. Like there's the circle. But if you were to cut it open, or like you order a single slice, and it's clear because it drips out of the side.
Filled pizza.
They would never serve you the whole thing.
At the moment when it was created, though, it wasn't able to be seen. I mean, when you cooked it,
it's a tour of pizza.
Okay, but did it?
But no, but sometimes they don't have. I don't order these ever. But I thought that they have also just vegetable ones, where they just have potato ones, and they don't have cheese.
Okay, it could be that. Look, if it's usually milchik, then the fact they sometimes make a pirate won't confuse people because people assume it's milchik. So I'll assume that people assume these are milchik, like calzones. Even though they're part of calzones, I assume most people would assume a calzone is milchik. So then it's an effective shinui tsura. I mean, it doesn't have to be 100% milchik, just to be the average person would assume that it's milchik. Right? So, which means that as long as it's milchik a lot of the time, if it's milchik most of the time, that's okay, because the average person will assume it's milchik. It's only if it's mamish, like half and half, that I think it's a problem. Okay, now let's just move on before we get to the lundus to one last question, which is, no, let's get to the lundus. Okay, so there's a fundamental chakira here in terms of why is there an iser b'di'eved on milchik bread? Right? The Pisrei Tshuva, Kosel and Prima Gadim, a radical idea, which no one passing like. In the second Pisrei Tshuva, even the Prima Gadim doesn't pass like this. He just brings up a possibility. He says maybe Prima Gadim suggests it's a knas. Really, the gzera is only the chachila. But if you violate the gzera, you deserve a knas. So everyone else says it's not a knas, it's a gzera. It's not that there's a gzera chachila and a knas b'dieved for having the chutzpah to violate Chazal's gzera. No, there's a gzera chachila and the gzera also covers b'dieved directly. The nafkamina is obviously is shogeg. According to the Prima Gadim, if you bake it b'shogeg, it's much of the evidence, because there's no knas if you only did b'shogeg. We all know there's never a knas b'shogeg, or hardly ever a knas b'shogeg. But if it's a gzera directly, then obviously it's usher bang b'shogeg. Even if it, a monkey baked it, it would be usher, because it's not a knas, it's a direct iser b'dieved. Halacha l'maisa, this is pashut, that we paskin, that, like everyone else, not like the suggestion of the Prima Gadim, it's not a knas. It's a real gzera, b'dieved. It's a real gzera. And if it's a real gzera, then, if it's a real gzera b'dieved, then it doesn't matter how it got there. It doesn't matter if you cooked it b'mezid, if you baked it b'mezid, if you baked it b'shogeg, if a monkey baked it, if it just appeared from space, if you created it through Sefer Yetzira. Well, that might be different, without getting into the question of whether it's really milchik then. But, clearly, if it just magically appears, it's still usher, because there's a direct iser b'dieved. Not because you baked it, just because it exists. Now, the real chakira is what's the nature of this iser. The main chakira is what's the nature of this gzera. You could have two ways of viewing this gzera. One is that it's more of a, I'm going to simplify it, because we don't have unlimited time, but it's more of sort of an iser gavra. Meaning, what I mean by this is, it's usher to eat something that might lead to a michshol. The other possibility is that, as the Gilyan Marsha says, listen to this line from the first Gilyan Marsha, Isa im cholav, kamo basar of im cholav. It's basar b'cholav drabbanan. Meat drabbanan, there it goes there, that bread has the din of meat and milk. Therefore, bread and milk is like chicken and milk, and bread and meat is like, chalav shchuta and meat. Right? So says the Gilyan Maharsha. He says, it is basar b'chalav midrabanan. What he said is that isa plus chalav is the same as oaf plus chalav, just like oaf plus chalav is not the best of chalav deraisa, the chet of basr chalav derabanan, right? Again, one could question the chet zagavra, but we'll see the nafkaminas, right? So the question is it just that it becomes basr chalav derabanan? There are goals there. It's a very radical idea. I wouldn't have even thought to say this lundus if it wasn't before Gilyan Marsha. But he says, mamish, isa b'chalav is like of b'chalav. It's a cheft of bas b'chalav in your abundant. There were goes there, just like there goes there on chickens, there were goes there on bread. Bread is like a chicken. If you mix it with milk, it's bas b'chalav d'rabbanan. Or no, it's not bas b'chalav d'rabbanan. It's just usher to eat something which could lead to a michshol. Now, the nafgaminas of this chakira are manyfold. For example, one of the biggest machlokas is what about a shinoi tzura achar fia. What if you make the shinoi tzura afterwards? You first bake it and then you make a shinoi tzura. So if you say it's just usher to eat something which could lead to a michshol, now you fix it, it doesn't lead to a michshol. But if you say it's a chefter bas b'chol d'rabbanan, once it's the isher bas b'chol is chal, then it's going to be too late. And this is the famous machlokas in Sifkat and Gimel, Pesach Tshuva, between the Chavos Das and the Krasi Uplasi. And I think the Prima Gadami also quotes like the Chavos Das. Here we have Krasi Uplasi Mutter, Chavos Das, and the Prima Gadim say Usser. Why? Because if it's Bas B'chol D'Rabbanan, it's an Isser Chavta. Bas B'chol D'Rabbanan, it's Bas B'chol D'Rabbanan. You can't change it now. But if you say, no, it's not Bas B'chol D'Rabbanan, it's just an Isser of Michshol. Then when it was a mishal, it was usher. When it stops being a mishal, it becomes mutter. Obviously, the same exact nafgamina applies to Pesachei Tshuva. Maybe it's the next Pesachei Tshuva. It's the same thing. This seems to be the same. How about split it up after afia? What if I bake a lot, but then I split it, I bake enough for a week. And then I realize, oh, I bake milk and bread. So you know what? I want to save milk and bread. I'll find 7 families and give them each enough for a day. So does that help? So it's the same exact machlokes. The crazy place it says yes, because now it's not a mishal anymore. You took away the mishal. But the Chavos Das says, no, once the Isser is Chal, the Isser is Chal. Ein ma la'asot. Another nafgamina could be adding less than 1/60 of milk. You add less than 1/60 of milk. Now, again, I don't mean you add less than 1/60 of milk and then plan to eat it with meat. That we assume is Asser. Mont, and don't eat the bread with meat. Right? Thomas is English muffins. They might have less than 1/60 milk, but you put an OUD telling everyone not to eat it with meat. So we're not discussing, we assume poshut. You can't take sauce, add less than 1/60 milk, and then put it on your steak. No, you can't add a pintle of Israel Chaptil of milk to mix with meat. But how about you just put less than 1/60 of the milk and you're going to eat it without meat? Right? So, says the Gilyan Maharsha. By the way, the Gilyan Maharsha also says the same thing here. Obviously. Says the Gilyan Maharsha, here's where he really says his shita. Usser, because ein mevatlin iser l'chatchila. It's usser, because ein mevatlin iser l'chatchila. After all, does anyone think you could take less than 1/60 chicken and put it in your milk, and your milk and quiche? Does anyone think you could take less than 1/60 milk and put it in your chicken soup? Of course you get mixed, bas b'chol d'rabbanan, using bitlis with chachila. So he says totally usser. The OU is makel on this. Thomas's English muffins, I think, might have less than 1/60 of milk. But most achronim disagree with this. The Nachlis Tzvi, and the Maharit, which is quoted in the Chavos Das, and even the Chavos Das here, says, mutter, why? Because it's not a, it won't come to a mechshol, right? The Chavos Das, you see, by the way, has cross-sized in this Chakira. That's because he's not as radical as the Gilyon Rasha. Chavos Das thinks it's an Isser Chepta, and once it's Chal, but it's not an Isser Chepta because it's Bosom Chol Drabonin. It's an Isser Chepta because it's a mechshol, so he's in between. If it's a mechshol, it becomes an Isser Chepta, and then you can't reverse it. But it's only an Isser Chepta if it's a mechshol. And if it's less than a 60th, what's the mechshol? Worst comes to worst, you eat it with meat, it'll still be kosher. So that's the crazier place he's saying, there's no Isser Chepta at all. You can matter it anytime you want. The Gilyon Rasha says, it's manish bas v'cholov. The Chavos Das seems to be in between. If there's never a mechshol, it's never usher. But if there is a mechshol, it becomes an Isser Chepta. And that's why he says you're allowed to put less than a 60th. How do we paskin on these things? So, there's a Masor, we'll see in a second why. There's a Masor from the Rav that there's no Isser Chepta at all in milchik bread. There's a Masor from the Rav that there's no Isser Chepta in milchik bread, and therefore he paskin the kula on all of these nafkaminas. However, it's not so clear that everyone agrees with this. So most contemporary poskim, even though the Rav was Mekel, most contemporary poskim assume that there is an Isser Chepta. And this one, it's also a bit of a machlokes. But I think here, with the Chavos Das, we can feel more comfortable possibly in the Kula. On the first case, I'd be, I mean, there's the Rav to Bisomichan, but I don't know that I would run to Bisomichan him because he seems to be a very minority Shita.
The second one is the same.
Yeah, number two, I can't.
The one and two are really the same.
Yeah, I really can't think of a chiluk between the two of them. I would not want to split that. Okay, another nafgamina, by the way, could be the discussion of the beginning of Pesach Tshuva Beis. I am the sefer Lushi Shrug, linen in this arif kikar zebekikros achiros. I am sham heitev. Okay, he doesn't say what that means, but there's a rule. Let me just point out this rule called chaticha ro'ilis kavit. Which means that, and a kikar is one of them. It says in Siman Kuf Yud, if a loaf of bread, a homemade loaf of bread at least, or nowadays maybe even a store-bought loaf of bread, if a loaf of bread gets mixed with other loaf of bread, and it's treif, it's not batal, because it's too chashiv. But that's only if it's intrinsically usser. If it's usser because it was boleya isser, then it is batal. Okay, we'll get to that. But basically, what's the nafkamina? Nafkamina is bitol yavish biyavish. Meaning, no ta'am, just you mix up your loaf of bread. So you have one loaf of milchik bread mixed with two loaves of parv bread. So, if you say that it's ma'am sh'nesher chefza, then you would say that it's not batel, because it's chashuv and aser machmas atzmo. That's the key. So, nesher chefza is aser machmas atzmo. But, because it's only aser Machmas Blias Chalav. Basically, the rule is that Yavish B'Yavish will see an important intact item is Batel if it's only Usher because it got a Blia from something else. But it's not Batel if it's intrinsically Usher. So again, is milk bread intrinsically Usher? Like the flour and water is also Usher? Or just Usher because of the milk inside it? So again, if you look at the grace you place in the Rav way, it's only Usher because of the milk inside it. But if you look at it as the Gilyon Rasha's way, then it's usser, because it's intrinsically usser. Every, because kanan, right? Kanan be basar b'chalav. Every bit of flour and water has turned treif because it's like basar b'chalav. Another great machlokus, which Rav Schechter wrote a whole article about this, and he was makel for the OU based on the Rav, is the following case. What about ta'am of pas chalavi shenivla... No, let me say this a little better. Not bar not of milchik bread. Meaning, let's say you have a factory that makes milchik bread. And then they want to make power bread. So is the power bread kosher or treif? So, says Rav Schechter, he says, It's kosher. Why? Because it's not bar nat dehetera. The ta'am of milk is actually a mutter ta'am. It's not bar nat dehetera. You couldn't have eaten the milchik bread. But its ta'am is not usher. It's just usher to eat because this is her gavra of a michshol, right? Kosher, he views it as not bar nat dehetera. Why? Because be'etzem it's not a chefta of treif. It's just usher to eat it because it might lead to a michshol. But the taste itself is not treif. The taste itself is not treif. But the other option would be to say that it's treif because it's not bar nat be'isur. So there's a lot of nafkaminas of this chefta gavra machlokas. Right? If you say mamash it turned into an isur chefta, then it's treif. The kelim you baked it on is a knot of treif. The next bread you bake is a not bar knot of treif, so it's all treif. Until you kasha the factory, all bread baked there is treif. However, if you look at it as an isur gavra, it's not intrinsically treif, it's just usher to eat it in a way that will lead to a michshol. So you can't eat this bread because you might put roast beef on it, but if the tam goes into the kelim and then back into the next bread, now it's only a not bar knot dehetera, then you can eat it because now it will lead to a michshol. Even if you put roast beef on it, it's still mutter.
Shepherd says it based on the rav, or no?
Based on the rav. Yes. And.
So we relies on the rav?
And it was not clear to me what they do lemaisa. Because the rav seems to be a little bit in the minority here. Maybe in the bitlis or hafila, he's in the majority, because it never really became a chefetz shel iser. But in these cases, once it becomes a chefetz shel iser, it's a little tricky. Lemaisa also mitzarif another suffix, which is the whole question of when it becomes treif. Like, does it become treif when you start baking or when you finish baking? Because after all, maybe you could still put a shinu tzura, right? What if at the end of the baking you put a shinu tzura? So if you assume that would be okay, then it doesn't become treif until you take it out of the oven. And once you take it out of the oven, there's no bleed anymore. So there are other tzadim lahakel on that side. It gets very clever. Lemaisa, where does this come from? The Rav brings a raya. The Rav's main raya is from the following shach. The Rav's main raya is from the Shach. Look at the Shach, Sifkatan, in Beis. The Shach asks the following question. He says that if you cooked a meat pie with bread in the oven, and the meat pie spilled, the gravy of the meat pie spilled, right? We don't know if the gravy of the meat pie will reach that time, reach the bread or not. So the bread is suffik fleshik, suffik milchik. So what does the Shach say? If the bread is suffik fleshik, suffik milchik, he said, usser. But he said, why? He says, it's a sveik sveika. Maybe the bread is fleshik, maybe the bread is pyriv. But maybe, even if it's fleshik, maybe you'll eat it with milk, maybe you won't eat it with milk. So why isn't it a sveik sveika? So, but the question is here, if we have bread that is safek bisari, right? Why not say sveik sveika, maybe bisari, maybe not? This is the Shach's question. And even if it's bisari, maybe you will eat it with milk, maybe not. Okay, this says, right, it's a good sveik sveika. It's a sveik sveika of a michshol. Maybe it's fleishik, maybe it's pyrav. You're mesufa. But even if it's fleishik, maybe you'll eat it with milk, maybe you'll eat it without milk. So it's only sveik sveika michshol. Right? So what is the Shach's answer? His answer is, it's not a sveik sveika because you'll probably eat it with milk. Because in their days, they have bread with everything. Even nowadays, we eat bread with everything. Right? You have a loaf of bread. You buy angel's bread in your house. Suffolk, maybe you'll eat it with milk. You'll for sure eat it with milk. At least part of it. At least some of the slices. Right? That's the Shach's answer. However, what would the Gilyam Arshah answer this question? He says it's not a sveik sveika. It's only one suffolk. Maybe it's fleishik. Maybe it's not. If it's fleishik, it's treif. We don't care if you're really going to eat it with milk or not. We just care that it's a chetz of iser, and that's exactly what the Gilyam Arshah says and yells at the Shach. Says the Lenius Dikish, oh, came to bar Usher Lolshim Cholov, you came to Mali. Who cares if you do with milk or not? We call Malcolm Isid Rabbanan, it's still Usher. Meaning, says the Gilyan Maharsha, that it's only Suffolk Echad, because if it's Bisari, it's Treif, regardless of whether you end up in a michshol or not. It's just, this is very reminiscent, by the way, of the famous Hachalok Zachronim of Chalavakum, right? Is it only us that we're choshesh might be treif, or is there just a gzeira, a chefted rabbanon of Chalavakum that's treif? So the Gilgamesh Shah says, as we know, the B'rit Chadosh, the Chasam Sofer are famous, no, sorry, the Chasam Sofer is famous against the B'rit Chadosh for saying that Chalav Akum, it doesn't matter if it's from a cow or from a horse. It's a chefta of treif called Chalav Akum. Even if it's from a cow, it's still a chefta of treif called Chalav Akum. That's what Gilgamesh says, even if you don't eat it with milk, it's a chefta of treif called fleshic bread. Therefore, it's a suffik echad. Says the Shach, though, no, it would be a sveik sveika, but you will probably eat it with cheese or milk, right? With chalavi. Meaning, theoretically, it would be a steak fake, except it's not a good suffake because you'll probably eat it with milk. Says the Rav, we see from the Shach that he disagrees with the Gilyan Maharsha. This is a great nafkamina. If you say it's a chefta shel iser basar b'chalav, then if you don't know if it's fleshik or pyrav, that's one suffake. Suffake, chefta shel iser, suffake not. If it's just an iser gavra of michshol, then it's a sveik sveika. Maybe it's fleshig, maybe it's not. Even if it's fleshig, maybe you'll put cream cheese on it, maybe you won't. And that's what the Shach assumes, except technically he makes it in a rove instead of a suffake. So that was the base of the rove. That's the way Rosh Shechter says over the rove. It's in the Masorah Journal. He says the rove said, it's the Shach against Gilyan Maharsha. We hold like the Shach, that's only Nisar Gavra. And that, the rove paskin across the board. All the nafkaminas he paskin across the board. He does have a shach on his side. Most poskim nowadays, from all the modern day halachas farm I've seen, you know, from the Alkut Yosef through the Bnei Shulchan through by force, assume like the, at least like the Chavos Das. So the Rav was makel on all these things. The Rav was makel on all these things, but many poskim are machmer on all these things. So on my side, with, you know, at least in some of these more serious nafkaminas, I mean, this is not a nafkamina. This is just a nafkamina shach avatari of the shach. But let's say in this one, Rav Shechter's Mekel, it sees it as Devar Pashut, but it could be it'd be Kedai to be Machmer if you're not a Talmud of the Rav, because we're not sure if Islam this is correct, even though he has a Shach on his side. That there might be a little more room to be Mekel, because if it's a Safik or something, the Xero Devar Pashut applies to Ur Mekel. There, in that case, there might be more room to be Mekel. Okay.
The Shach is discussing eating it with parav or by itself?
The Shach is discussing whether you can eat it with parav based on whether it's a mechshol or not. So basically, is it a suffix sveik of mechshol or a suffix echad of chetz of treif? Okay, so this is the key lundus in this sugya, which has many, many nafkaminas. Again, the most practical nafkamina being, can you just do the shinoi tsura or break it up into little packages after, you know, divide it up among families, each one giving them a little afterwards, where everyone's machmer on here except for the Rav. B, can you put in less than a 60th? As long as you put D on it and make sure not to eat it with meat. But can you put in less than a 60th and eat it with parav? I think many people are makel here, like the Chavos Das. You know, because even if the Rav's wrong, even if it is Isser Hefza, it might not become an Isser Hefza till it is a michshol for 1 second at least. And also in terms of bitul yavish b'yavish and not bar not. Now, let us do one more issue. I'm going to need someone's help, whoever's in charge, before we carry on in the Shulchan Aruch. Yes?
Yeah, we'll say you baked the bread, just enough bread for a Shabbos, we'll say, mm-hmm. and you had some left over. So it's beheta. I mean, it's bread that's not aser. And what do you do with it afterwards?
What do you do if you have leftovers? What do you do if you make a davar muat and you have leftovers?
Although it's only more of a Dara Mu'at, and also I never got this Rechafta.
Yeah, but the Poskim to say Yisr Chafta seem to say that they're Machmer both ways. Like, if once an Yisr Chafta, it's an Yisr Chafta forever, but even if it starts at not an Yisr Chafta, it can become an Yisr Chafta. Although maybe not in this case.
Still, why isn't it still a Dara Mu'at?
Because from now on, it's a Dara Mu'at.
I mean, it's only more of a Dara Mu'at now that you eat something.
Its whole heter was that it was only one day.
Yeah, but Ain't Mazar, it's been a longer time since you baked it.
But it's not about since one day. Meaning, isn't it that whole...
Now you have to remember for 2 days instead of one day.
Right, but right now it's only for one day. And it's still a small amount.
Yeah, but
then there's no
heter
Okay,
I have to think about that. It's a great question. Sorry, Ian, not posh to me. Okay, one other very, very crucial issue is, what foods does this apply to? What foods does this apply to? The Gemara talks about bread. Now, clearly, it only applies to things that look like they're parched, right? Meaning, obviously, this doesn't apply to cholent. Because everyone knows cholent is usually flaccid. Right, that's obvious. The question is, does it apply to things we think are pirate? Tuna fish, jam, Coca-Cola, etc. Right, wine is discussed in the post-game here. So what chefs does this apply to? Which items are subject to this gzera? So here we have a fundamental machlokas. Which items are subject to this zera? The first taz says, it's a big problem that people make their food processor, or in case of mortar and pestle, fleishik, and then they make spices. Now they have fleishik spices. Now they have fleishik spices. And he thinks it's obviously a big problem they put these fleishik spices into milk. It's even a big problem to eat these fleishik spices with meat or with pariv. Because fleishik spices are like, you don't expect spices to be fleishik, are like fleishik bread. And the gzera applies. The Gilyan Marsha assumes the same thing. And he has a case where they would put some sort of milk product into wine to improve it. And he said, that's strange, because now it's milk with wine. You expect it to be pirate. So the Gilyan Marsha and the Taz. The Taz and the Gilyan Marsha, both the first one, says any food that seems to be pirate. Any food that seems to be pirate. Right? Now this could be a big mishal. Like, I remember when I was a kid, there were foods that cycled in and out of being milchic. Tuna fish. There were like 3 years when old tuna fish was milchic, was deep, because they put in casein for some processing reason, which is a milk protein. And I remember there was like a while when old margarine went milchic. Also, not because they made it out of butter, then it was butter, not margarine, because they put in some like protein or emulsifier or whatever, I don't even know what these words mean, etc. So, according to the Taz Gilyan Marsha, this would be a big problem. Except, I'll tell you an important story. This is an important story from rabbis. When I was, I won't mention the name of this person who's now a chashuv rabbi. When I was in learning in YU in the kollel, a guy came in one day with a shaila. He said, single guy, obviously. He got home last night and he wanted a steak. So he took a steak in a frying pan and fried it in margarine, right? Because you only go ahead and fry a steak in butter, you fry a steak in margarine. And his mother got home and said, you idiot, what did you do? Don't you see the margarine's OUD? That was when margarine became dairy. Exactly what the Taz and Gilyan Marsha were worried about, right? So his mother said, now what do we do with the pan? So he said, I tried to paskin for my mother what to do with the pan. She said, if you possible, call, I'm not trusting your psak. Go ask a rabbi who eats kosher in yeshiva. I don't know if she said that way, but go in yeshiva and ask a real rabbi. So here is us, like smicha students, who don't know anything about the world, know a little about your day, but nothing about the world. We're sitting there done. First I asked him, well, do you also have a shout about the steak? He said, no, I ate that one time before my mother got home. So it was like a little awkward, fine. So we're donning on the frying pan. So finally, he said, well, I don't think my mother wants me to ask you. You know, I think my mother wants me to ask Mary Willie. So we went to Mary Willie, or whoever it was. And Mary Willie says, ah, the OUD margarine. Yeah, I'm sure it's Parv, just call the OU and check. And he called the OU and they said, yeah, of course it's Parv. Meaning, the OU demargarine wasn't really milchik. It just had some chemical in it, which was less than a 60th of milk. So in order to not be mevatelis ulchachila, they put OUD. So they wouldn't be mevatelis ulchachila. Putting in milk and then writing Parv is like mevatelis ulchachila. They're telling you to eat it with meat. They're telling the company to put in meat, milk, and you to eat it with meat. That they wouldn't do. But he said, really, it's Parv. So therefore, everything's kosher and it's no problem. So really, even when the tuna fish was milchik, it was really Parv. When the margarine was milchik, it was really Parv. So those are not necessarily big problems. And this is very important. Even when something says OUD, it might be Parv. OUD means lechachila you should treat it as milchik. Because either it has less than a 60th of milk, in which case lechachila you shouldn't mix it with meat, because that's bechilas lechachila, or at least not shash thereof, we'll get to it, or it means that it was made on milchik kalim, in which case it's not barnat, and you shouldn't lechachila eat it with meat. But just because something says OUD or any other hechsher D doesn't mean it's milchik, it might be Parv, so if you have a shayla b'dieved, you should clarify, and I mean, sometimes it's obvious, but a lot of things that don't seem like they should be milchik, some of them really are. Animal crackers, OUD, the ones I ate once, really were milchik. They had way in the ingredients. But some things that don't seem to be milchik really aren't milchik. They're just milchik l'chachila. So if you have a shayla b'dieved, the first thing you should do is OUD milchik or Parv. And if you don't know, call the OU.
Where are the animal crackers actually?
We'll get to it. Great. Okay, hold that thought. Can you hold that thought for 2 minutes? Okay, so that's the Taz and the Gilyan Marasha. Great question. Taz and Gilyan Marasha. However, the Nachlas Tzvi on the bottom or side, or wherever it is in yours, disagrees with this. The Nachlas Tzvi quotes the Prichadash, who disagrees with this, and most poskim disagree. The Prichadash and the Nachlas Tzvi and the most poskim, like the later poskim, or HaShulchan, etc., say only pas. The gzeira is only on pas. Why? Because that's what Chazal and Gozer are on. Why were Chazal only Gozer on pas? I have a guess, because remember, in the old days, not like nowadays, in the old days, bread with a staff of plank. It was the mainstay of every meal. So pas, what you ate all the time, most of your food, there were Gozer on tuna fish and wine, even though it could be a mikshel, since it doesn't come up all the time, they weren't Gozer on. We paskin, like the Nachlas Tzvi, that it's only pas, and therefore we do not worry about other things that might be milky and fleshic, only about bread. Obviously you should use common sense and not make a michshol, but in terms of the formal gzeira, we only worry about bread. Now, even within bread, keep in mind, pas includes pas above a kistin. Pas above a kistin is pas, that's what it's called. Pas above a kistin, right? Pas above a kistin, cookies, crackers, cakes, is chayiv and challah, just like bread, because it's pas. Now, your wife will probably never take challah off these things, just because you use so little flour, you never get to the shear, if you're not a bakery. But theoretically, if your wife were to make 50 cakes in one bowl, if you had very big equipment, you know, then, you know, if you were to make, you know, 30 trays of chocolate chip cookies, and in one biggest bowl you had, then you'd have to take off challah. Theoretically, they're chayim and challah, because they're pas. Just we don't bench unless we eat a kliya suda of them. But they are called pas, and therefore, for bishul akum, they're called pas, right? Those who are noig heter and pas palter, don't, in the OU, when they make cookies and when they make animal crackers, a mashgiach doesn't like the stove. They assume it's pas. So we're no hegel hakel, and you don't need bishul yisrael. Right? And the gzera of milchik bread applies. So, but includes pas haba bekistin. Now that brings up the question, cheese danish is tenachar mutter, because you see the cheese, right? Pizza wheels, you know, those, the tenachar mutter, you see the pizza inside. But how about ShopRite animal crackers that have weighing ingredients? Or how about Oreos in Israel? The British Oreos have weighing ingredients. Many cookies have, I mean, it comes out good if you put milk in it. I'm sure the challah would also be good. But how about all these milchik cookies? Is this a halachic problem? So it would almost seem to be a halachic problem, except for the heter at the end of the Pesach Tshuva, Sifkat and Gimel. Now, our mitzvah is different than his, but the principle is important. What does he say? He says that there were certain types of fleishik bread they made that were like sweet and didn't go with cheese. Now, I don't think that applies nowadays, because we'd make Fleischer cookies. What do you do with your cookies? You dip them in milk, right? But it applies the opposite. I mean, the principle is the same. The metzias is the opposite, right? What's the metzias? But mutter, if it's a kind of baked good, it's a kind of baked good that is never eaten with meat. Again, his example is you can make fleishik if it's never eaten with cheese. That example doesn't apply in our metzias. You can't make any fleishik. You can't make any fleishik cakes or cookies because you dip them in milk. But I'm taking his principle. Who's talking here? It's the Chuv Ma'arit. I'm taking the Ma'arit's principle and the opposite metzias, right? Principle of Ma'arit, opposite metzias. But that's fair because it just depends on metzias. We all know that no one ever eats animal crackers with meat. They just don't go, not for halachic reasons. Goyim also don't eat animal crackers with meat because the tastes don't match together. No one eats cake with meat. No one eats chocolate chip cookies with meat. That's why you're allowed to make milchik cake and cookies, because no one eats it with meat for taste reasons, not because we know the halacha. Even goyim don't eat it with meat. It just doesn't go together. Like, you would never dip a chocolate chip cookie in your cholent or your chicken soup. I mean, that people would be afraid of you. You might eat them for dessert after a meat meal. So he assumes that the gzeira drab. Of course, you can't eat milk and cookies for dessert after your meat meal, right? You can't eat them for 6 hours. But the gzeira only applies if you might come to eat them together. They didn't make a gzeira of things you might eat afterwards. That's the chiddush. The chiddush is gzeira is only Atu achila biyachad mamish, not atu achila ze achar ze. Because of course it might be a michshol. You might forget and eat the milchik Oreo cookies for dessert after a Shabbos meal, and that would be usher. But they weren't gozer on that. They're only gozer on things that you might mix mamish. Since you never mix cake and cookies with meat, the gzeira doesn't apply.
You had milk and cakes there, you wouldn't have like on your plate, you have some chill on the side and some piece of cake on the side. You wouldn't eat them in the same bite, but you would have them maybe together.
I don't think people put them on a plate together. That's gross.
Crap.
I'm not talking about that. So, what does that mean? What that means, bottom line, is as Ari points out, and I got different answers from different people in the OU about this. So, lemaisa, bread is usher, meaning milchik, right? We don't have fleishik. Cake is mutter. Cookies is mutter. What's the principle? The principle is that it's sweet. But what about crackers? Right? Meaning that's salty. What about crackers?
It's normal to put some.
Would you eat crackers with meat?
Chopped liver.
Avada, you would. You put chopped liver. How else do you eat chopped liver? So therefore, Atlanias Daiti, it's Pasha, there's an Isser Gomer to have milk and Ritz crackers. They're OUD Ritz crackers. Ritz brand. So the OUD Ritz crackers are really hard. They're only the Chachino milk. They're not really milk. But if you would buy OUD Ritz crackers, and they would actually have like milk on the ingredients, and they would bound to be milchik, then I would say, I don't understand, then I would disagree with the OU, and I would throw them in the garbage. Because that's mamish the michshol. Everyone puts chopped liver on crackers. But luckily, I checked the Ritz crackers on the internet, and I saw they don't really have any milk. I checked the ingredients. But I think crackers are a big problem. Pretzels, I think, we could be makel on milky pretzels. Because even though they're salty, you never eat pretzels. It's just a snack food. You don't eat it with meat. But crackers are a big problem. Even if it's not salty. Even, like those... They have this kind of crackers that doesn't have any taste at all. It's like good for people on diets or something. Like whatever.
Strange.
What?
Sounds very strange.
Yeah, well, they're very popular in Israel. I forget what they're called.
Rice thing.
What?
Made out of rice?
No, because if it's made out of rice, then it's not pas. Then you get a bite. Anyway, lemaisa, crackers, and many salty things, You know, I won't make a rule of salty, let's say, because it might depend on the circumstances. But as a general rule, sweet things like cake and cookies are not a problem, because even a goy wouldn't eat them with meat. Crackers are a big problem. You can't make Milchig Ritz crackers, and you can't buy Milchig Ritz crackers. Or any other kind of crackers.
Though you definitely give shnocha to pretzels that are momish milk, sourdough pretzels.
Yes, the
Snyder's pretzels are not dairy.
Anyway, I think pretzels are okay because no one puts meat on pretzels, to the best of my knowledge.
Again, nobody puts it on it, but you can eat it like as a snack at the same time.
No, he's talking about in the kitchen. People would put strange bedfellows in the plate together.
Right, you don't like nobody didn't eat it.
No, if you eat it in the same plate at the same time, that counts as biyach, not zechar. Zechar is means different courses, like dessert. You know, if your mamish have like your potato kobe and your cholent, that counts as together.
Right.
Okay, so tzarich iyun, but I don't know. At the very least, for a lot of these things, I don't know if it's really shviach that people eat them at the same time in kiddush. I don't know. Have I ever seen someone with like cholent and pretzels on a plate at the kiddush?
Kids.
Usually. The kids don't eat the cholent, they only eat the pretzels. Okay, sorry.
That's a lot of kids eating.
Is this Raya from the Ryan side of here? Because surely the Gilliam Rashad agreed to this?
No, he might just say there were only goes there on a certain kind of dough, not on a certain kind of bread, not the other kind of bread. The truth is, there's a lot of rayas to the right side. Number one, this. Number two, the whole heter of a small amount or a shinui tzura. Don't those all show that it's contextual? It just depends if it's a mechshol. He would say, no, those are tanai in the iser chepta. He would just say, either he would disagree with this. Oh, he would disagree with this anyway. Remember, the Gilliam Rashad said any food, even wine, and even spices. So he's okay. Okay, let's just do a few more things. Okay, let's continue a little and quickly finish this up. The Ein Lefos continues the Ramah. Vein lefos shum pasim pladin opashtida betaner. You should not bake bread with meat pie or cheese pie in the oven. Remember, pashtida doesn't mean kugel, it means a meat pie, and pladin is a cheese pie. Dechayshina shema yizov mina shuman alapas, because maybe the gravy of either their cheese or the meat will spill onto the bread, or towards the bread. Vimzav tachtav, and if it spills under it, dino ki ilo nilo shimo, then it's as if, meaning, if the meat gravy spills, and the tam gets into the bread, it's as if it's fleishik bread. And if the cheese gravy spills, it's as if it's milchik bread. V'nogan losamat tefilu piyataner. Tefilu means the pie. The minig is to put the pie in the opening of the oven. V'afilu hub machvas nogan l'hak l'achila. And even if it's in a pan, we're still noig l'achila to be machver. Now here, this is a big machlokes, how to read this part of the Rambam. What are we afraid of? Right, and this is the last main topic here. What are we so afraid of? Zav tachtov. What does zav tachtov mean? The problem with tachtov is that it has a pronoun, right? The of is a pronoun, right? What does it mean? Zav tachtov k'ilu nilosh imo and its train. Tachat what? What are the two options?
The bread or the...
One is tachas hapas, meaning the gravy traveled to under the bread. What's the other option?
It's just sandwiched on the floor.
Exactly. Tachas ha-pashtida, right? The chopchick is not an abbreviation, just means a last word. Tachas ha-pashtida, meaning the gravy touched the floor of the oven. What's so bad if it touches the floor of the oven? What? Because the tam, no. What's so bad if the gravy touched the floor of the oven?
Under
what? Exactly. And the blia travels through the oven to the bread. So which of these does the Rama mean? This part is clearly yasser. Which of these do the Ramah mean? So this is a fundamental machlokes, says the Shach and the Taz. This is the Shach and the Taz. The Shach and the Taz assume that even if it just goes under the Pashtida, meaning if cheese touches the kli while you're baking bread, it's treif, right? That's the principle, right? Meaning the halacha is if meat or cheese touches the kli while bread is baking, the bread is treif, right? That's the principle of the Shach and the Taz. That's what they assume. However, the Pesach Tshuva quotes the Evan Ozer who disagrees. And it's not only the, that's in the Pesach Tshuva, but it's also the Kreis Yuplesi in the Pesach Tshuva, and also the Beis Meir not in the Pesach Tshuva. They say no. They say the halacha is that if meat or cheese touches the bread, then the bread is asur. But if meat or cheese touches the kli, then the bread is mutter. Okay, yes?
This is basically or not, or not.
Exactly. Why do they think it's mutter? So, what does the Pesach Tshuva say? Why? Because the bread is not barnat. The bread is not milchik, it's not barnat. Cheese to oven, oven to bread. And then what do the Shach and the Taz hold? No, because the cheese isn't in the bread yet. Right? I mean, the second step is Isura.
Right.
According to Gilgamesh Marsha, the second step is Isura.
Right.
Ooh.
But the Diyuk was from the Shach, that it's not
Isura. Right. Okay, so let's just say, maybe, but if you remember the beginning of Siman Tzadik Hei, we saw Machlokes, the Chavos Das brought down there in the Pesach Tshuva, about what about simultaneous not bar not, what he called the Shas Bishel. So why? Says the Chavos Das, because what he calls not bar not b'shas bishul, what he means is two simultaneous steps only count as one step. Right? So he says, what's the machlokas here? What are two simultaneous steps? Cheese into oven, oven into bread. But it's at the same time. The Shach and Taz says that it only counts as one step. So it's a not. While the crazy place in the Evan Ozer say it counts as two steps, and therefore it's a not bar not. So this is really the makor, the Chavos Das here, of the machlok, that simultaneous not bar not, but they call not bar not b'shas bishul. It's all happening one time. Although as, you can put many other svaras here, by the way. Or, al pi gilyon maharsha, you could say, well, that it's not bar not di isura, if you really want to take the gilyon maharsha to its logical extreme. And also, there are other svarim you could give for the kulas. There are other svarim you could give to the for the mekilim, or other. I'm not going to get into it, but I would just say ayin prima gadim and the kresiu plesi. The prima gadim quotes the kresiu plesi. Diyesh la ayin haim hablia. Holeches derech hatanur. You have to be ma'ayin if the bliya goes through the tanur or not. Number one, the smag in Siman Sani Beis says suffik whether bliya is ma'apeya through the kli. Maybe one suffik is enough because then you have the sveik sveika happening of the shach. And even better, maybe the smag only says that tam goes through the kli when there's rotev. And here there's no rotev. So okay, yesh la'ayin. Anyway, l'maisa, the main analysis in the Achronim is they're arguing about simultaneous not bar not. Which then brings up, agav, the question of, what about, yeah?
What's the need for the Ramban to say this according to the Reisu places, like, and Beit Meir, and all that? Like, what's the chiddush?
Ah!
obviously didn't touch it.
The Chiddush is don't bake it in the first place because it might. The gravy might drip all the way. Now, how do you read the Ramah? So, Zav Tachtov, meaning that we, what do we worry might happen? Right? So, according to the creation place, the Chiddush is, it's only a problem the gravy goes all the way to the bread. But we worry it might happen, so don't get into that situation. And the Shachat Taz, as long as the gravy spills on the oven, it's a problem. So for sure we worry. How do you solve the problem? What's the solution to the problem? How do you solve the problem? How does, what do they call it, pia tanner? Is that what the phrase they use? Solve the problem. According to the evidence in the crazy place, it's pashut because of gravity. The pia tanner is lower, so it'll drip out of the oven, right? Because pia tanner is lower than the emtza, than the tocha tanner. So you have gravity, meaning if it spills, it'll go out the door onto the floor. It won't go onto the bread. Solve the problem. According to the Shach, how does it solve the problem? Even if it's a pia tanner, the gravy will drip into the oven. The bliya will travel through the oven. Bliyas are not bound by gravity. So here it's a little dochuk, says the Chavos Das, that how does it solve the problem? It says, really, the machavas solves the problem. It's a little dochuk in the Ramah. This is what the Achronim explain, like the Chavos Das, says the Chavos Das. Really, machava solves the problem. Remember the Ramah at the end says it's in a pan? You put in a pan to solve the problem. How does a pan solve the problem? If it's in a pan, then whatever spills will land on the pan. It won't land on the oven. So why do you put in the opening of the oven? Here it's a little dochuk in the Ramah.
Is that where the pans go? The
what?
So it seems that's where pans go?
No. The pihataner is to minimize recha. The pia tanner is for a different way, just to minimize the smell. The minig is to minimize the smell of the cheese going to the bread, you put in the opening so that the smell goes out and not in. It's a very dochuk way of reading the Ramah, meaning, according to the Shach and Taz, the Ramah has a fundamental problem. How did the opening of the oven solve the problem of the pliya going through the oven? Pliyas go uphill, so you have to have the Chavos Das, because it's dochuk explanation. This is all from the Chavos Das. Right, according to the Eben Ozer, his big advantage is it explains Ramah perfectly. So you put in the pia tanner, it won't drip all the way to the bread. So he really has the upper hand, even though the Shach and Taz are pretty authoritative, but the Eben Ozer is a much better shot in the Ramah. Okay, let's just finish up one or two details. Says the Taz here in Sifkat and Gimel has a fascinating machlokas. A certain person made a cheese pie in her oven without a pan. Yeah?
How do you pass it on? If something is fully... There's no way it can fall onto the... shouldn't come onto your bread. Go onto the oven.
L'chachila, just, you know, put it in. But what if b'dieved? Like, what if the gravy dripped and touched the oven floor? And you have bread baking on the other part of the oven, right? Now, it really doesn't apply so much nowadays because we put everything in baking pans.
I just think
it's
spill, you take the chicken out.
You take the chicken out and some of the chicken gravy spills on the pan in the oven wouldn't hurt. On the pan with the bread would be the problem, right?
For that, you would need the bread because underneath the chicken is
a okay.
It would ruin your bread.
In the Pesach Tshuva here, he quotes in the Beis Ephraim that it was Mekel, at least when there's some other Tzad L'Hakel. Lemaisa, you know, not so Pasha, because the Shach and the Taz are pretty authoritative, and the Chavos Das agrees with the Shach and the Taz, by the way, even though it's Dachuk. He still agrees with the Shach in the and the Taz. We should add in here. So I would say, you know, like this base of frame. If you have another type of hakla, you can make it, and if not, a little bit of a tzarat iyon in this case. Not pashut in this case. Not pashut. You'd have to see if there's other stadim le hakel or not. Okay, one last thing we have to talk about, not bar not. Okay, we'll come back to that. Okay, the Tazir has a fascinating question. What if a woman baked a cheese pie on the oven and then put a meat pan down on it? So what's the case? Here's the case of the Taz of Bet Gimel. And after this case, I'm going to need Chesky's help, I think. That at 1 o'clock, here was the oven, and here was a cheese pie. At 2 o'clock, on that same oven, you had a dish, and in the dish was meat. Is the meat tray for kosher? So, says the, is the meat tray for kosher? This is a big machlokes. Says the Taz, mutter. Says the Mikudus HaKesef, aser. What do the machlokes seem to be? If the oven had a bli of milk, would that be a problem, b'diavad? Daniel, if the oven became a milchik, is that a problem, b'diavad, when you bake your meat in the pan? Because b'diavad, what do we say? A blia. No, you put meat. But yet we say a blia doesn't go from the oven to the pan without rotip, right? Blia doesn't go completely without rotip. The Prima Gadim here says still lasha l'chachila, unlike what Moshe thought, that maybe the Noah l'chachila put a kli on a surface. But b'diavad says the Taz, blia doesn't go from kli to kli without rotip. Said the Shach, forget about blia. There's schmutz left because you bake the cheese pie without a... without a kli, so there's the end left on the oven. So he says mutter because it's only a blia in the oven. The Shach says usher because there is the end on the oven. They seem to have machlokas, maybe in mitzias, or how to draw the line in mitzias. What does the machlokas seem to be? The Prima Gadim explains: if you cooked a piece of cheese, everyone would agree that there's cheese schmutz on the oven. And if you put a meat kli down, then the cheese schmutz is nivla into the meat kli. Meaning, let's just review for a second. If you put a meat pan down on cheese schmutz, oh, for sure that's treif. The meat pan is touching the cheese. If you put a meat pan down on a milchik kli, for sure that's kosher. Blia doesn't go from kli to kli without rotev. The question is, what's the machlokas here? The Taz says, since you baked the cheese in a pie, you didn't get cheese residue on the oven because it was blocked by the dough. You might have dough residue on the oven, but not cheese residue. And therefore, there's no cheese residue on the oven, and therefore, if you accidentally put a fleshy pan down there, it's kosher. The Shach says no. The cheese residue will leak through the dough. So this is a big machlokas. This could actually happen. You know, what if you bake a cheese blintzer, you heat up a cheese blintzer or a calzone in your toaster oven straight on the grill. And then you accidentally put like a fleshik pan on there, a fleshik kli on there. So the Taz would say, mutter, because there's only bread schmutz on it, no cheese schmutz. But the Shach would say, no, there's cheese schmutz on it too, because it leaks through the bread. And therefore, lemaisa, we would be machmer in such cases. Lemaisa, we would be machmer like the Taz, like the Nekudas HaKesef, that even if the cheese was in a pie, it still might leave cheese schmutz on the floor. So until you wipe it clean, we assume that it is cheese be'en, and cheese be'en will treif up a meat pan. So that's the machlokas. Again, what's the machlokas? Does cheese in a pie leave shamnunes vina on the oven floor or not? Right? And the Kudus HaKesef says it does, and the Taz says it doesn't. Last two se'ifim. Beis. Taner shetacho ba'alya. An oven that you smeared with fat. Alya's tail fat. It was just a good kosher fat for smearing ovens. Ain ofen bo pas. You can't bake bread there because the bread will become fleishig. Achi yes, you can be bifnim until you light a fire and burn it out. What do we call burning through lighting a fire? Liban, until you do liban from the inside. Achi is laban until it becomes white hot, until it's liban. Vafilum hushal bochya, even if it's from some bochya. What's the chiddush of bochya? Bochya is this really strong kind of ceramics that you light the fire on the outside and you bake food on the inside. So the chiddush is, even though you always light a fire on the outside, ein lo hetor deheskim yachutz, you can't kasher it through lighting fire on the outside. What's the principle here? We'll see if this applies to metal or not, but kli cheres, which can be kasher through liban, even though not everyone knows that. The rule is to kasher kli cheres with liban, you need to build a fire on the inside, not the outside. And even if in a normal oven, you always build a fire on the inside and put the bread on the inside. So the kasher, you need the fire on the inside. The chiddush is even bochya, where you normally put the fire on the outside and the bread on the inside. It's not enough to kasher kabolo kachpolto. By putting a fire on the outside, you need to build a fire on the inside. So, again, here is the normal use. And here is how to kasher it. So a tanur, the normal use is fire is bifnim, and the bread is bifnim. You kasher it, you need hesek bifnim. The chiddush of bochya is that normally you put the fire mibachutz and the bread or food bifnim. It's like a semicircle. You bake the fire underneath and the bread on top. Still, even though the normal way you use it is to put the fire on the outside, to kasher it, the fire needs to be on the inside. So, for example, if you wanted a kasher klicheres, let's say you had like a china bowl you wanted a kasher, you would have to build a fire inside the bowl, not outside the bowl. Good luck with that. Now, we'll get to whether there's a solution. But, okay, now, what's the big machlokas here? The big machlokas here is the Taz of Katan Dalet. Ask the obvious question. It's not his question, it's a Tosfos question. He says, why do you have to kasher it? Why isn't it enough to just wipe off the aliyah and then any bread you bake will be not bar not and you'll be... I'm sorry, I need your help, Chesky. Okay. So, what about the following case? What if you, again, don't imagine our ovens. In our ovens, we put pans in the oven, right? If you wanted to bake challah in our oven, you would put the challah on a power of pan in the oven. You wouldn't put the challah on a fleishig pan. But here's the real question. What about baking bread on a kli bisari, directly on a kli bisari, right? So, on the one hand, what would we say? Misvara, we would say, that this would be a case of not bar not. And what would be the rule of not bar not? We would say, not bar not, which means, don't eat the bread with milk, but the bread is kosher. Why is the bread kosher? It's not really fleishig bread. It's not bar not, right? Sephardim say not bar not is parav. Even Ashkenazim say not bar not is really parav b'dievet, right? We would say, don't eat bread with milk, lechatchila, but the bread's really parav. And if the bread's really parav, then it's not a michshol, right? What's the worst that'll happen? You'll eat it with milk, it's still kosher. Okay, however, the diyuk from Shulchan Aruch Sif Beis, which equals a Mefurish Gemara, is that what do you have to do to the oven? You have to kasher the oven, right? You have to kasher the oven. The diuk is just cleaning is not enough. Cleaning the oven is not enough. You have to kasher the oven. Why is cleaning the oven not enough? Because you can't bake bread on a kli bisari. Right? So that's a misvara. What could the problem possibly be? Misvara, what's the problem? It should be perfectly fine. You're just going to not burn out fleishig bread, so you'll lechat chila not eat it with milk, but it's not treif, it's not really fleishik. However, the diuk from the Gemara is that you have to do hesek. That's not just a shulchan aruch, that's a mefurish Gemara. So why do you have to kashrut it? Why is it enough to clean it? So here is a fundamental machlokas, shown really machlokas between the Taz and the Prima Gadim. The Taz paskins like Tosfos and the Ran. So says the Taz, al pi Tosfos and the Ran. He says, really mutter. So why do you have to kashrut the oven? Anyone? What does the Taz say? The only reason, really mutter, and therefore, it's really enough to just wipe the oven clean, right? It's really mutter to bake bread on a fleishig oven, if you want to, you know, if you want lechachila to treat the bread as fleishig. According to Ravadia, you can even bake bread on a fleishig oven and lechachila to eat with milk. But even as Ashkenazim, so it's really enough to wipe the oven clean. So why do you have to kasher it? Why do you have to kasher it? Says because it's hard to reach the crevices of the oven when you wipe it. When you wipe it clean. Really, it's enough to just clean off the end of the oven. Not burn, that's perfectly fine. The only reason why we have to kasher it is because ovens have a lot of crevices, which is hard to get to. So the only way to clean them is to kasher it. The only way to clean an oven is to kasher it. But if you have an oven without crevices, you could just wipe it with a Clorox wipe and you're fine.
But the bit that you clean the bread on, surely you can clean because it's a flat surface.
Yeah, but the Taz assumes that the blia will go through the oven into the bread, like we saw over here. Taz. So that won't help. However, the Prima Gadim disagrees. The Prima Gadim right here disagrees on this Taz. Hine, that's true for Sfardim. But Prima Gadim for Ashkenazim says, nope, it's really Asur Lechatchila because you are relying on not Barnat and you shouldn't rely on not Barnat Lechatchila. So what does the Prima Gadim say? He says, no, you have to kasher the oven. Why? Because even though the bread's not really going to be fleishik, but you're relying on not barnat. Why is you calling this bread pariv? Because it's not barnat. But lechachila, you shouldn't rely on not barnat. Lechachila, we have to pretend there is no heter of not barnat. I mean, according to the Rivan, this bread is totally fleishik, and the gzera will be chal on it. So lechachila, we have to be machmer, not to rely on not barnat. This is a very subtle issue. You can think yourself about the lumdus behind it. Basically, the Taz says, since once you bake the bread, it would be mutter b'dieved with milk, the gzeirah doesn't apply, it's not a mishal. Prima Gadim says, the only reason it's mutter b'dieved with milk is because b'dieved were mekel and not barnat. But l'chachila, don't get into the situation and pretend, l'chachila, we have to pretend that not barnat is usher. So this is a big machlokes, meaning halacha l'maisa, not barnat bread. B'di'eved, it is kosher. Why? Because everyone agrees that b'di'eved it's kosher. If it's not barnat, we can't trade it up b'di'eved. The question is just lechatchila, to bake it lechatchila. The Taz says mutter, the Prima Gadim says aser. Again, the Taz says, bottom line, it's only a chomer lechatchila that we're choshish for the Yvon, that we don't rely on barnat. We don't have to take the chomer lechatchila even to make gzeira flakes of bread. Well, the Prima Gadim says, no, take this chomer lechachila very seriously. Lechachila, don't ever rely on barnat, and therefore consider it to be fleishik bread. So once it's baked, it's for sure okay. Should you bake it in the first place? Is machlokas? Okay, narrowly, at least if it's the kli is einu ben yomo, you can be making like the Taz. nearly to at least be Mako. Yish Lahako, at least if it's Eino Benyomo, you can be Mako like the Taz. Okay, if someone wants to be more Mako, they can also be more Mako like the Taz. But at least if it's Eino Benyomo, nearly to be Mako like the Taz here. Yeah?
He's using baking paper. Does that make it a separate clear, or is that still...
Baking paper? I think it's a separate cli. I think when it's baking paper, it keeps, you know, I think it is a separate cli. Yeah, baking paper is tough. I mean, a paper towel is not a separate cli. That's totally, everything soaks through. But I think baking paper is a separate cli. And then, you know, now again, that's not a heter gomer l'chachila, because l'chachila, we don't rely on a cli touching a cli. That's a question. What about baking bread on a flesha cli with baking paper or aluminum foil? Would you say, it becomes a very similar thing, that, well, l'chachila, don't rely on the heter. Yeah, but I think given that according to the Taz, yeah, I think for sure you could bake it according to the Taz as much or even without the baking foil. The question is, what if I bake bread on a benyomo fleshik tray with baking paper? Can I l'chachila now eat it with milk? Or do we say... now eat it with milk if I baked it with baking paper? I think so, because since it's only a chumrah that we're choshed for the Rivan anyway, the question is, can I l'chachila do this whole plan and rely on it? Nearly that if it's Eino Benyomo, I'd be Mekel. If it's Eino Benyomo, I'd be Mekel l'chachila.
What's
Eino Benyomo? The tray. If the tray is Eino Benyomo, I'd be Mekel l'chachila to put baking pan, to put baking paper, and then challah, and consider it parif. But if the tray's been yomo, to put baking paper and rely on aim blia goes from kli to kli, and then make bread knowing I'm going to eat it with milk, I don't know if I'd go that far.
You said if it's in a benyomo, you would be made to eat without baking paper.
Right, but I mean is with the baking paper, I would even let you eat it with milk. Okay. Without the baking paper, I'd just be making that it's not tray. Right. Right?
But you would do it initially like the
task. Mutter, right, bli, you know, challah, right? Lecho, you know, the Taz is mutter, you're just saying it's not treif, it's not the Xavier, he still admits that it's fleshit. Right? So again, if it's Eino Benyomo, I would rely on the Taz.
Make it l'chachila, but not to eat it with milk.
Right. If it's Eino Benyomo and you put baking paper, then I would be makel even to eat it with milk. Okay, last if, drum roll please. Okay, so again, this is whether it's kosher or not. Did he have it kosher? Kosher, again, I don't mean parif. I mean kosher for Ashkenazim, at least. Right, for Sephardim, it's pashut. Bidi Eved, it's kosher. I didn't say Bidi Eved, Bidi Eved, if you mix it with milk, it's okay. But don't mix it with milk. Bidi Eved, kosher, but don't eat it with milk. L'chachila, Taz says mutter, just don't mix it with milk. Prima Gunter says l'chachila, don't bake it at all that way. Nearly, if it's Eino Benyomo, you can make it like the Taz. And if it's Benyomo, you put baking paper, can make it like the Taz. If it's Eino Benyomo and put baking paper, can even be make it to eat it with milk. That's the Hachra that we just decided. But a few people nodded, so that's a Beznu Gimel. Okay, Gimel. Last question is Recha. What about Recha? What does Recha mean? Recha means, remember, either there's no problem of Zeya when you cook things in a big oven, or there's no problem of Zeya with solid foods. Assuming there's no problem of Zeya here, there's still a problem of Recha. Solid foods have a lot, when you roast things, they have Recha. So what's the din of Recha? If the Reich of meat goes to bread, is it Fleshik? So how do we pass in that Recha? We pass in Recha is Milsa Lechachila and La Milsa B'dieved. We're Machbar and Recha Lechachila but not B'dieved. Therefore we say, Pasha Farmatzli, if you bake bread with meat. The dogim shalom matanar echad v'vaser, or you roast fish in the oven at the same time as meat. Also, ochlem b'chalav. We don't say it's treif because b'di'eved we say it's kosher. However, we do say you're not allowed to eat them with milk because l'chachila just eat them without milk, right? So that's what we say. We say that if you have recha of meat in your bread, man, we don't say b'di'eved once it's cooked it's parif. No, l'chachila treat it as milchik. So what's the din of bread bread with reyach basar, lecha tchila asar la'achlo with gvina, bebidyeved em nisarev en gvina its mutter. That's the din of recha. Lecha tchila, don't mix it, keep it this, and call this bread fleishig and don't mix it with milk. But bidyeved, if you mix it with milk, it's okay. Because we paskin recha lav bil sabidyeved. There's a whole simit about this later. And then he adds, "V'hani ma'amila." But when is there recha in lechachila b'taner katan? Old taner gadol machzor shneimas esronim. A big taner that holds 12 esronim. Upiv pasuach, and the door is open. Mutter, even lechachila. Meaning, when is it mutter lechachila? But mutter if it's a taner gadol plus piv patuach. It's a big oven plus the door is open. Like in a lot of pizza stores, they always leave the door open. I don't even know if they all have doors. And some of them might have big ovens, maybe. So then, even if you had fleishik, pariv and milk at the same time, it would even lechachila be pariv. V'yatzli mechusa v'chim v'shish mechusa nekeshavo, if the roast is covered, or even if it's a meat pie, usually there's a hole in the middle, but if they cover the hole in the middle and it's totally covered by dough, then mutter filo b'taner tsar, then it's mutter because the significant smell will not get through the dough. Right, so if it's like a deli roll and the deli roll is totally covered, then it's mutter because the smell won't get through the dough. And even lechachila. So if I bake bread with deli roll in the oven and the deli roll is totally covered, that bread is parif. If I bake bread in a giant oven with the door open together with meat, then the bread is parif. But in a normal case, where I bake in a regular oven bread with uncovered meat, then the bread is lechachila fleishik, but b'di'eved we'll treat it as parif. What's the getter of big oven? Now the question is, are our ovens big or small? What's the getter of a big oven? So, there are, the Pesach Tshuva here mentions, there are three opinions as to how to measure the 12 esronim. Yud, Beis, Esronim. What are the three opinions? He quotes here from the Yad Eliyahu, he says, the entire inside of the oven has to hold Yud Beis Esronim. Meaning, if you fill the whole oven with bread, it has to hold Yud Beis Esronim. Again, that's not a normal way to bake. He quotes from the Prima Gadim. Says the Prima Gadim. He says, no, only the oven floor has to hold Yud Beis Esronim. Oh, Yud Beis Esronim is volume. The other oven floor is area. How can an area hold a volume? The answer is, we know stam bread is a tefach thick, right? Only oven floor times one tefach height. And there's a third opinion, which is the prichadash and the crazy placey. They say, hold on, how did they bake bread in the time of the Gemara? Did they bake bread on the floor of the oven? What did they put on the floor of the oven?
Fire.
The coals. Where did they bake? Exactly. The four walls. Again, times one tefach. Right? The four walls is also area, which is a little more makel than Prima Gadim, but not as makel as the out of the Yahu. Lemaisa also, what's your basis for them? If anyone calculates it, here it's a little tricky. If you would just go home and calculate Yud Beis Esronim, you would find that a lot of ovens hold Yud Beis Esronim on the four walls, if you just measured the Esronim. But the Chachmas Adam here assumes Yud Beis Esronim doesn't mean the volume of Yud Beis Esronim. Yud Beis Esronim means the volume of bread that you make out of Yud Beis Esronim of flour. That's very large. Meaning, anyone know what bread you made out of Yud Beis Esronim? What? One row, not one column of lechem apanim, right? So basically he says, two esronim is one loaf of lechem apanim. How does he know? It says so in the Chumash. Shnei esronim yiyach ala achas. So just figure out what six loaves of lechem apanim are. It's not Yud Beis Esronim in volume. It's you take Yud Beis Esronim flour, you then add water, you mix it. You don't let it rise, right? Because it was matzah, obviously, a tefach thick. And then, but you get, meaning it's not just what you can stick in Yud Bezis Ronin. It's, you take Yud Bezis Ronin flour, mix it with water, and then how big is it? It's very big. L'maisa, Yud Bezis Ronin is really 300 cubic tfachim, which means, according to the Prima Gadim, the oven floor needs to be 300 square tfachim. Not happening in regular household ovens. According to the Preis Yuflesi, the four walls need to be 300 cubic tfachim. Not happening in regular ovens. According to the Yad Eliyahu, the whole oven needs to be 300 cubic tfachim. Maybe in regular ovens. L'maisa, we don't use this kula. L'maisa, we assume. L'maisa, we assume that home ovens are small and don't hold Yud Bezis Ronim. At least not Yud Bezis Ronim with the water and then made into dough.
When the Hector's mentioned as like our ovens, it's they were talking about like industrial sized ovens, or they didn't agree with the
Yud. They didn't say, oh, I don't know, maybe they had big ovens. I mean, sometimes the baker had an oven for the whole town.
That's what I'm saying. Like we're talking about the baker.
Like, oven. Yeah, and the pizza store oven might be L'kulei Alma Yud Bezis Ronim. Yeah. Like, for example, in a lot of pizza stores, they never close the door of the ovens, or at least not during the workday. I don't know, some they do, some they don't. Let's say you have the pizza store. What?
They're constantly open and closed.
Right, or no, that might be a problem. Let's say the matzah bakery. They never close the door of the oven. Let's say accidentally, and this would be a little weird. Okay, this would be too weird Pesach-wise. But let's say you had an oven that, basically, it's not going to happen so much. The old big oven door will be open. L'maisa, we don't use that coupon. And we assume that our ovens, you work out the math, you'll see that that our ovens, at least once the Chachmas Adam says it means 12 esronim plus water needed into dough, our ovens are not going to hold 12 esronim so easily. Our ovens are small, not to mention the fact we always close the door of our ovens. So l'maisa, therefore, if you bake, by the way, it's not only bread. This is less than non-bread also, right, Duncan? If you bake chicken and potato kugel in the oven at the same time, Then you have at least a problem of reicha, if not zeya. So either way, at least l'chachila, you treat that potato kugel as fleishik. Okay. Hadron l'chachos bas v'cholav. We will continue with our chazara. And when do we say the bechina was? Anyone remember?
January 10th.
What? Okay, gewaldik.